Thank you. You may be seated. This is first Sunday of the month, time where we come together as a church and celebrate communion. I want to talk to you a little, just for a few moments this morning, on Christmas and communion. And when you combine these two concepts, we think of communion, and rightly so, as the time of sacrifice. We remember how Jesus suffered, how he died, how he rose again. So it's right to think about sacrifice when we think of communion. One might think it strange, however, to connect his birth with his death, but certainly as we think of it, we know that Jesus came certainly to live, but more importantly, he came to die. He was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, God tells us. So as we connect communion with Christmas, Christmas and communion, I think, are tightly woven together. You cannot have one, really, without the other. Communion without Christmas is really just a Sunday morning snack among friends. And Christmas without communion is just another holiday to sell toys and to make money for a lot of people. But Christmas is so very, very important. It's been a great celebration this morning as we've heard about what the different elements, the different parts of our celebration, what they mean. But we also know that it was the birth of the humanity of Jesus Christ when he came into the earth. And it was not only the birth of Jesus of a virgin that separates this childbirth from any other. No other birth was like this one. This was the birth through the virgin as fulfilled by prophecy. God prophesied hundreds of years, thousands of years really, before Jesus Christ came into the earth, what he was going to do. He also told us 500 years before he told us where he would be born, in Bethlehem. He tells us in Isaiah 9, one of the great prophecies of the Word of God, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." That's a powerful phrase at the end of that verse. The zeal of the Lord Almighty, or the zeal of the Lord of hosts, the zeal of the Lord of the armies will accomplish this, will perform this. That tells me that God was excited about bringing redemption to the human race. He was elated about a process that would bring forgiveness to man. From the Garden of Eden, from the fall of man, through hundreds and thousands of years, man was alienated from God. There was no fellowship. There was no relationship. And so God was elated. He was excited to be able to bring forgiveness to man and redeem him so that fellowship, so that a relationship between God and man could be restored. So when we partake of communion, it's not just a horizontal thing we do, although it is. It's fellowship and communion with all of us. But it's also with the Wonderful One, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and his government. So when we partake of communion in just a few moments, we're communing with him, Creator God, who oversees everything, who's in control, who's sovereign God. God knew from the beginning that there would have to be, it was absolutely necessary for there to be a shedding of blood for all of this to come about. So I said, Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't circumstantial. It was in the mind of God from before he even created the world that one day his Son would come into this world robed in human flesh, Creator coming on a par with created, and he was going to come, not only to set an example for us, but ultimately to be the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And how elated it tells us that God was to provide for us this gift, and yet I can't help but think also how heartbroken he must have been. How painful it must have been to know the suffering that his Son would endure. It would cause even God himself to turn his back on the Son as Jesus Christ became sin for us. God was excited. This was an exciting time for Almighty God to give his Son for you and me. Secondly, we see that Jesus bore all our griefs and our sorrows. We go to an Old Testament passage again, way back in Isaiah 53, speaking there of the Son who is going to come and die, pay for our sins. He said in verse 4, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Jesus Christ did everything that was necessary so you and I could be restored to him. He bore all of our griefs, all of our sorrows, and the wrath of God literally came upon him as our substitute. He died, he suffered, so you and I would not have to die and suffer. So communion is tied to the fact that he bore all of our griefs, he bore all of our sorrows. It says in verse 3 of Isaiah 53 that he was a man of sorrows. He said in Matthew 26 when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying to the Father, you remember the famous prayer, "Not my will but thine be done." He was praying, the disciples kept falling asleep, and he finally related to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death." As he was bearing and sensing the sorrow of the sins of an entire human race, past, present, and future, he knew what was coming, and yet he went anyway. He knew why it was coming, yet he went anyway to the cross. Such a beautiful sight here last night. If you were able to be here, you know what I'm talking about. Friday night as we dedicated the cross, saw it lit up. And what a testimony. Jesus Christ certainly is the light of the world, is he not? Because of the cross. And so when we partake of communion, we partake of his cup of grief and sorrow with him. So God is excited. Jesus bore all of our griefs and sorrows, and we are healed by his wounds, his stripes that he suffered. I cannot bring healing by my own efforts. I can't be good enough to get God to smile down upon me, but it was his suffering and his death that healed all of our spiritual maladies and brings us into potential fellowship with him if we've received him as our personal Savior. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul talked about it. He says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." So God wants us to come to this communion service, examining ourselves, making sure that our hearts are right with him, that there's no unconfessed sin. He says a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. He wrote these words to a church that was self-willed, going and doing their own thing. And the book of 1 Corinthians was written to correct a lot of different errors that they were practicing. One of them was the Lord's Supper. They were violating the thrust of it and just really having their parties without thinking of the body and the blood that Jesus gave for us. So the taking of communion coincides with his stripes for our healing. The healing covers a multitude of maladies. Examine ourselves, make ourselves eligible for that healing as we make sure that we confess. And he said, when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of every sin that we've committed. Communion is the sealing of the covenant of God. Luke 22:20, in the same way after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. The partaking of communion is because of the acceptance of everything Jesus did for us. And it's to be done in remembrance of him. He says, this bread is my body, represents my body. This cup represents my blood. Take, eat, drink in remembrance of me. So that's what we're doing today. We're remembering what he did for us. And let me close with this passage of scripture, Luke 22:14-20. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So he looked forward to this day, to have this time with his disciples before he went to the cross. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So let's join together this morning. Let us partake of the communion, remembering all that he has done for us.